being on time, I'm prepared.
Okay.
All right. I want to welcome everybody tonight. Well, are we good? Okay. We're up and going. All right. Today is Thursday, October 3rd, 2024, our regular Boulder Town Council meeting. And I just want to welcome everybody tonight and thank you for coming. First, we will say the Pledge of Allegiance. If everybody will stand and face the flag, I think it's down in that corner now. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Let me turn that down a little bit.
All right. So the agenda. I would like to postpone number 13, the pay schedule and how to adjust inflation till next month. So if you'll just cross that one off, we'll table it and put it on next month. I promise to be on the ball. Other than that, anything else? Anybody?
A couple. There were a couple of things where there was nothing in the meeting materials, but if it's going to be just a brief mention or something like that, that's fine. But it does make it difficult to prepare for the change the meeting minutes. The park maintenance job description was actually still in the September meeting materials and so forth. So I hope in the future we can do a better job of making sure that the supporting documents for each meeting are there and we can come prepared to actually have a substantive conversation.
This one, I apologize. I didn't realize that this one was in last month. This was something that I knew that Josh was doing. So I apologize. I did not bring that forward.
Yeah, I think part of that was related that we lost our ability to put things in pending items.
Yeah, which that I'm still changing.
So. Okay, you'll get that fixed, I trust. Very good.
All right. Anybody else? All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda with the one change.
Gladys will make the motion. We approve the agenda with deleting number 13.
Josh will second.
All in favor say aye. Those opposed say no.
Josh, aye.
They're aye. Yeah.
Aye.
Judy, aye. All right.
Yeah.
Your training tonight on that.
Approve the amendments is next. Did everybody get a chance to look over them and make adjustments?
Yes. I have several corrections. Okay, I'll start with the July 2nd.
Did you make in the?
Some of, yeah.
Just if you have them.
No, I made them online. So my name continues to be misspelled. I think somebody is cutting and pasting from an old one because that keeps recurring. I also corrected a couple other spelling errors in that in the July 2nd. And I added a note. It looked, the way it ended up, it says, you know, at this point, the recording stopped. So I added a clarification that the rest of the meeting did not meet open and public meeting requirements, and all remaining agenda items will be brought before the town council for a vote again in August.
Thank you.
Just so, yeah, just shows that we didn't do something secretive.
Mm-hmm.
No, I appreciate that. We were really struggling on what word needed to be included. So
yeah,
that's
so
perfect.
That was made online. So that was my correction to July 2nd. Why don't I just go through all of them, and then we could probably do one motion. Okay, so then on July 25th, Josh Ellis was missing from the roll call, but I didn't recall he was there because he talked later in the meeting. And I do want to thank everyone for getting, there was a very confusing set of motions and withdrawing motions. And I thank everyone who got that very accurately transcribed.
Yes, that was crazy.
But then I made a correction there that as the minutes were written, they don't meet some of the specific requirements in the Utah Public Meetings Act, section 204, 1 and 4. So I added a paragraph that I think met the minimum. It said a motion was made to go into closed session to discuss the personnel issues. State law says you have to state the purpose for the closed meeting. Drain, Ellis, Gardner, Lefevre, and Varanth voted in favor. State law says you have to have two-thirds vote And then it says the closed meeting was held in the town clerk's office. Because it says you have to state where the closed meeting will be held.
I think we always just wrote the building and that counted, but.
Oh yeah, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So I added that just for compliance. Yeah. And then on the September 5th, we acknowledged that there was almost over 20 minutes of conversation on financials, but no real summary of what was said. It would be really nice if a few sentences could be added either by you or Lacey, just summarizing at a high level what was said.
I did add a statement regarding the lack of 941 filings going back to 2019. So at least that was explicitly that Jessica discovered it and disclosed it to us in the public meeting.
But the fact that we looked at the auditor's report, that we looked at the budget, you know, those should be.
When I read minutes from an organization and they say financials were discussed, period, I say, okay, what are you guys hiding? If you can't put anything in the minutes about what you talked about. So if you could add something on that one, it'd be really helpful.
Okay, so then you want to delay approving those?
Why don't I delay the September 5th.
Yeah, okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the July 2nd, July 25th meeting minutes as amended online.
Gladys will second.
All right, we're approving the July 2nd meeting, regular meeting minutes online with the all of
amendments.
Yeah, all of the amended minutes. And all those in favor say aye, and all those opposed say no.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye. Okay, and then we'll postpone this.
Did you say the July 2nd and the July 25th?
I just said the 2nd.
Okay.
Was that both of them?
Let's do another motion.
Okay, for the 25th.
For the 25th.
Okay.
Yeah. Josh's motion was to make it.
Yes.
For both?
My motion was for both. You just restated it as only the
1st. As only the 2nd. I apologize. Yeah. Okay.
But we meant both.
Yeah.
Okay, and I include the July 25th.
I'm just stating this.
Yep.
For later. It's clear.
So on for November we have the 9:05 minutes. Okay.
All right. Okay. So next is the department report. Reports. Josh, do you want to start?
Fire. Nothing going on, which is great. We're going to burn the dump once it cools down a little bit. EMT, been having lots of calls, a few motorcycle wrecks. There's a new EMT named Daria in town that is apparently, so I've heard, staying through the winter. So that's great. The app is working really well. That's been really nice to have. Landfill filed the response to the deficiencies with the state. Finally got our letter in, so just kind of waiting to hear back and see what they say about our corrective actions and our timelines. We have until late November to do a bunch of things like put up new signs. So that might be something we need to discuss next month. And Wildfire Council is here, so we'll be presenting shortly. That's all I have to report.
Did you check with Roger on any training for Cindy?
No, I haven't, but that is definitely on our list of deficiencies. So let me make a note of that.
Because I think maybe that and the signs, if we get those two, at least we can say, hey, we're above water.
Oh, I do want to say, actually, I just forgot about this. When she emailed me back about her deficiency letter, she gave me the name of an outfit that'll come pick up metal or might be interested in it. So I forwarded that to Dave Dodds and said, it would be really cool if you coordinate with a bunch of us. And he immediately emailed them. I don't know what's going to come of it, but hopefully we can get some movement there with a broader umbrella. Just wanted to let you know that.
And did you say that Sam was going to dig the pit, a new pit?
No, I have not touch base with Sam. I mean, Cindy has been reaching. I didn't touch base with Cindy either. Sorry, Cindy, if you're listening to this around the meeting. I didn't get around to that this week.
Because it's bad. I can give Sam a call. It's not a big deal.
Or Cindy. I asked Cindy to do it before, and she's done it. So
also, learning from the lady. Anytime we do that, we're supposed to call her and let her know.
I'm trying to update her permit to get rid of that requirement but that is true. That is a thing that should technically happen to comply with our permit.
That ding dong was that part, is that we're supposed to let her know anytime they open a new hole.
Well, Cindy just said we asked Josh to call Sam and dig a new pit.
So. Okay. I'll add that to my list as well.
All right, Gladys.
Travel Council first meeting of kind of the year is October. I think it's 18th. I don't think I have
anything. Okay.
Jessica, did Riker send you a written bill for opening and closing? I'll remind you.
Okay.
Okay, John.
Okay. Nothing from the Arts Council this month. On roads, had a conversation with Dave Dodds. We talked about county assistance with town roads, chip sealing, and so forth. Unfortunately, chip seal and asphalt for extensive patching aren't available right now. But we can certainly, start putting together a plan for the spring of 25 for what we need to do. I drove the town roads this week. I marked up the map with problem areas just to start getting an idea of where we would have work that needs to be done. The only thing we could really do with the rest of this year would be some small patches with the cold mix asphalt, which is expensive. But if there's a pothole that's going to get aggravated over the winter, that's worth doing. That was the conversation with Dave Dodds on the roads. We have the item here under number 8 for Lower Boulder Road, so I'll bring that stuff up then. The rest of that.
Okay.
And then planning, I'll talk about that under the number 9.
Okay. Very good. We got somebody here from the tree committee?
No.
Anybody online from the tree committee? Okay, no. The gathering that they've got for planting the trees is October 8th. They'll be planting, the last I heard it was 15 gallon trees for the town, and they're giving away 55 gallon trees to anyone who wants to help or come and help plant. First come, first serve, but at 50, I bet most people could probably get a tree if they want, And then they'll talk about the trees that are good for this area, and it ought to be fun. I understand they went and picked apples the other day. I don't know if they got them all. I haven't had a chance to touch base with them. I just ran in. Somebody came in the store and I talked to him about it last Friday, I think. But and then for the county, we passed one CUP for short-term rental, another one for Panguitch Lake, and then we had one zone change from agriculture to commercial for a lumber mill that they want to put in on Highway 89 north of Panguitch. As you go out of town, it'll be, I think they said 5 or 6 miles out. I might be wrong on that, so don't quote me, but I know it's north. And so it went on to the commission. We gave the okay to do it and passed it on to the commissioner. So it was funny though. We had two items and I thought, oh yeah, short meeting. And then I watched everybody walk in for public comments and I thought, Oh, we're going to be here. Well, 2 hours we were there for that, for the lumber mill changing it. But anyway.
Is that to replace the one that burned down?
I don't think so. I think this is someplace different. And they were concerned because there were some homes across the road, issues that you really think about. But I don't know if it's going to pass. We put a stipulation that they had turn lanes to go in there because of it being on Highway 89 and where it's located. So we'll see what happens with that. But it did go on to the commissioners. I think that's it. Oh, and then I just got this in the mail today. This is from David Dodds. And he said, effective immediately, only bagged household garbage and flattened cardboard are permitted to be disposed in any county dumpsters. Please refrain from placing the following items in the dumpsters: construction waste, wood, dead animals, appliance, metals, other hard materials. For disposal of those materials, please visit Johns Valley Landfill, which is open from 10 to 3, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Improper use of the dumpsters will not be tolerated, and we are actively monitoring all disposal activities. Violators will face a Class C misdemeanor, which can carry a fine up to $1,045. We encourage everyone to comply with these rules to avoid any penalties and keep our county clean. So I hope people take this to heart. It would really help us out for sure. So how it's going to be monitored, I don't know. I don't know if we could put cameras up there or not, but it's a thought. All right.
Mayor,
that's all.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
We're talking about planting these trees. Are we going to have water to water? I mean, because we've been talking about we've got to conserve our water.
I talked to Corey about it. He's going to do two things. He's going to, on the hottest months, July and August and September, he's going to monitor the meter to make sure that we don't go over. And then we're putting a timer. Jess, I'm going to have you pick up a timer. I can even pick up one when I'm out and about. There are only, I think, like $20, and they can go up to 2 hours, and he can put those on the hoses, and at least they'll go off after the timed time if he gets busy and forgets it. So between those things, I'm hoping that we can, you know, bring it down. So, and other than that, I don't know.
I would like to make a comment on that. I was looking through our approved checks, and our water bill did go down from like $2,000 in July to like $300 the last 2 months.
Yeah, that's so good.
I was actually, I emailed Jessica and I was like, you don't have to respond to this today, obviously, but it's like, is this a mistake, or did they credit us, or did like Corey really do something different? And it, I don't, you know, so anyway, there's been massive improvement.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, that which is measured improves. So
yeah,
I'd throw that out. So
hopefully that'll take care of it on the two hottest months, you know. And that was a shock to all of us with the way that they raised the rates and the gallons, you know, use. So hopefully we can get to the bottom of that. Maybe if we take those small steps,
yeah,
it'll really help. John?
Yeah, following up on the dumpster letter, we need to make sure that this gets out to people here in town, obviously.
Yeah.
And Josh, this will kind of impact our landfill, because historically we told people that if your construction project did not require a building permit, you could put the material in the dumpsters. Now that's shifted to having to go to our construction pit.
Well, the policy that we approved, which includes dumpsters back in June, says it's similar to that, except we say pursuant to a county ordinance. So basically, I'm adding a note for next month. We need to update our policy that we pass to match probably a new ordinance. But it says small scale residential construction demolition waste bagged and tied in less than 3 feet in any dimension is permitted in the dumpsters. Sounds like they're changing that. So I'll reach out to Dave, verify the ordinance number and all that stuff, and then have this ready to revise next month or next meeting.
Wonder if there's a way to put, like, I know they've got a sign on the dumpsters. Maybe we could put on there something new ordinance about maybe new ordinance or something so that people pay attention and.
Yes.
Or that no construction waste is allowed of any kind.
Yeah.
That's a big change.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Our dump's going to get a lot more busy.
All right. We are down to public comments.
Can I?
Yep. Oh, Jess, I apologize.
It's okay.
I left you right out. My right hand girl and passed
okay.
You right over.
So I just wanted to let everyone know. So Betsy confirmed that for Halloween, they are going to do the trunk or treating on Saturday, October 26th. She is going to do, so there's always the setup, which is a little bit earlier. So it's from the church parking lot to the Stout's house. Setup of the trunk or treating is from 5 until 5:30. And the actual trick or treating is from 5:30 to 6:30. So we'll just get in touch with Corey to make sure that he can block the roads for them that day. And so enjoy, come and enjoy the evening. If you want to set up a vehicle or a station to pass out candy or treats, or to walk around and gather those things. So that'll be Saturday, October 26th. Goodness. Also just because Ray's not here. So Corey wanted, we did get, actually let me start this over. So we were hoping that with the Anasazi opening back up, that we would see a little less traffic at the restrooms in the park. That has not been the case. They still are very busy. Corey has to go literally almost every day to make sure that they're refreshed, cleaned. There's also seems to be a problem. They always get locked. Like he can't figure out, like you kind of have to bump it with your hip to be able to lock it. Like for a little bit, he was like, oh, maybe because we're out of toilet paper. But it actually happens all the time. Like the other day he went up and refreshed them. The next morning he went up and they were both locked. So he's trying to figure that out. But we did also get the big toilet paper rolls. So the big round ones that there's 2 an inch. So we did get those. Those are installed now over there to kind of help with him having to go over there maybe a little less frequently. So we did get those into place. So just so that everyone knows, it is just as busy over there. And hopefully at least having the bigger toilet paper will help that a little bit. And that's kind of it.
Okay. Is Erin online?
No. Okay. No, she won't be here tonight.
Okay. Cool.
Neither her or Lisa.
Okay. So we'll move into public comments. 3 minutes maximum per person. And if you're ready, Josh has got the microphone and we got the podium tonight. We're going to give that a try.
Just doing it a little bit.
All right. Go ahead, Donna, if you're ready.
Okay. Donna Owen. I'm making a couple comments about the subdivision ordinance because unfortunately I thought this was the joint meeting and it was the other meeting. I know you're going to be discussing what you already discussed at the joint meeting and I don't know what happened there. So I'm just going to make a couple comments in case anything is being discussed today. My comment would be the ordinance, several things in the ordinance require the ALCA, the board. And so you really can't pass this ordinance until you have a board, but you really can't have a board because it's only authorized in this ordinance. So they need to be kind of done really close. You don't want someone submitting something and you don't have a board and now you're breaking your rules. But that's just an observation I made that you want to think about, save you some trouble. And then on 152.601 lot sizes, where we're trying to make small lot sizes, I totally disagree with the premise of this being even feasible for anyone who wants to have, has a larger lot. They want to put a few lots on now, save the rest. Well, in an example, what if you have a 100-acre lot or a 50-acre lot and you want three small pieces? You want to be able to have something for someone affordable. You don't know what you're doing with the rest of it. It's your land. You just want to leave it for now, but you can never develop it ever again. So you are forced into having 5-acre tumbleweed farms if you want to make a subdivision and save the rest of your land. If you want to do 2 or 3-acre parcels, do, let's say, 3 of them. And then the rest of your land is tied up for the rest of your life. What point is that for the landowner? It's not an incentive. It's certainly not at all. It's a game killer. So just wanted to make that known. I'm so happy that you are going to talk about the Lower Boulder Road. Thank you. Whatever you say, it's just great that you're talking about it so that we can all get something done. And then I wasn't sure when I saw that the Planning Commission vacancy is being discussed or filled. You know, in past it's been advertised, and I don't think it was advertised, so I don't know what you're going to talk about that. And what else was it? Sorry. Oh, I wanted to know if a Boulder Town infrastructure design standard has already been formed, because several things in your new subdivision ordinance are referring to the Boulder Town Infrastructure Design Schedule. Does that even exist? Okay. No. And that was really all my observations about the subdivision ordinance. Thank you for everything you do, and thank you for work talking about the Lower Boulder Road.
Thanks, Donna. Anyone else want a public comment? I don't see anybody on Zoom.
You had 15 seconds.
It was just a request that the mics are there for you. And when you turn like that and you go like that, people want to hear me. I struggle at home to hear everyone. I came here and didn't expect to still struggle when you're talking like that and talking to yourself. It's just, I hear you because you speak in your mind. It's just a, you might not realize
we are. Well, Josh has kind of addressed that tonight, so.
Working on it.
Yeah, or hopefully it'll take.
Or at least the recording should be much higher quality.
It's better at home than this
year. It should be way better at home now.
Great.
At least that would be clear.
Okay, Wildfire Council, Judith.
If you want to stand, I don't know how, if it's comfortable for you to stand.
If you want to seat, you
can. But you can, actually, you can sit. You just need to use this mic. Okay.
Woo, that mic is.
Yeah, you can sit. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't have to.
That way out.
You can be anywhere you want.
There it is. Okay. Good evening, Judith Guile here. I'm speaking as a representative of the Boulder Wildfire Council. And I'm here to, one, inform you or remind you that there is going to be an open meeting on October 11th, which is a Friday, here in the foyer of the town hall from 6:30 to 8:00. And one of the first items on the agenda, and it's going to be one of the time-consuming one, is the discussion of the content of the wildfire mitigation questionnaire, which I just put in front of you, if you wouldn't mind referencing that. Thank you. It's an effort to involve more of the community in decision-making, or at least suggesting outcomes versus a small target group such as the council or even welfare council presenting to the town council, which is another small group, unless we get some input. So I'm hoping. Now, I have put it online once, and I'm going to do it again tomorrow.
And there are copies in the library at the librarian's desk during open hours. And I will be at the Tree City meeting that you mentioned on the 8th to hand out the forms. And I guess I'm also hoping that the town council will in fact participate and answer the questions and comment. Now, one question I thought maybe we should put on hold is the last one, which is, what do you see as the most important action Boulder Town Administration could initiate to assist landowners strengthening defenses against wildfire dangers? Well, that's kind of a conflict of interest, perhaps, if I ask you as a land manager, land owner, to comment separate from your position as accountable person. So I don't know whether that question should be deferred. I would hope that you would answer the first two and not feel that it would be inappropriate to answer any of them because of the third question. Now, earlier, prior to creating the document, and as I moved it to the council, I moved it to Josh Ellis, and I'd like to pause and thank Representative Ellis for all his support for the Wildfire Council projects and his willingness to consider and advise and supply information. So I'm looking forward to working with him, you, Josh, over the winter, at least long distance. So thank you for that. But when he and Josh looked over the form and that last question, he put in comments that were multiple, and that was invest in water resources, such as the water tanks, provide education about wildfire mitigation strategies, which we are doing ongoing, pursue community-wide emergency communication notification systems, provide more assistance to mitigate efforts, mitigation efforts to make it easier to remove vegetation from properties, et cetera, et cetera. So that was a broad list. So I think that would be welcome, but maybe not a specific I prefer, because I think as a council person, that might be inappropriate at this time. Do I get a nod on that? Sounds okay. So in terms of the rest of the agenda at the meeting, I am proposing one, a discussion of public and forest management practices with the intent of developing a set of recommendations to be forwarded to the involved agencies. This came about because a number of people in the community have expressed concern about the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management behaviors up on Boulder Mountain. And perhaps we could put together a rather definitive statement, at least from the Wildfire Council, and whether or not we could then present it to the town council and whether they would want to be involved in that and move the document on with their signatures also, that would be up for discussion. And then the other is, and it's sort of related to what Josh has already said about the emergency communications plan, a discussion of public attitudes regarding the modification of the town's emergency operation plan, the EOP, especially a localized emergency notification system. You know, we have been kicking this down the road for a number of years. If you go back to the document, it is Mr. Muse, who is the mayor at the time, and there hasn't been a modification since. So I do believe it is time to move on. And again, Josh Ellis has committed to working on that over the winter, and I hope we can come up with something. So I'm hoping I will get some response from community members as to how specific they would want a communication system. Are they satisfied with the general, what's happening in Bryce Canyon? Or do we want something, it's happening on Lower Boulder Road? And we looked at that a year ago. We had a contract in place that dated itself from unsolved one call only. And it was a reasonable presentation contract at that time, under $600 a year to reach out to over 900 calls. So again, I'm going to ask the question again at the meeting, and then again over the winter when we discuss it again as a council topic. So that's all I have this evening. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to present. Are there any questions or comments?
No, thank you, Judy.
All right.
Appreciate it.
It might be good before this meeting to try and get together with that other software outfit that does the plans. It's tied into our app. What is it called?
Be helpful.
No, I forwarded it to you. I'll follow up with you, and it might be really useful for you to touch base with them and maybe, I don't know, I'll have time before then to do a webinar, but at least you should touch base with them.
I recall you mentioning it, but not specific the services they would offer.
So it's a notification system, but it's also like the plans that you were developing for individual properties, where your propane tanks, where's your power cut off, where's water supply, all that sort of stuff. When you sign up for the app, you put it in, and then when we respond to calls, we see it on our app, our notification app. So it's basically all integrated with the fire department, awesome.
Yes. And would it also integrate with the Forest Service, who would be in charge of any fire that initiates on public lands?
I don't know about them, but they would rely on us for all the localized information, right? And then we would at least have it. Could add them to it real easy though, if there was an incident. So let's touch base on that again after the meeting. This meeting.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Before your meeting, the next meeting.
Yes. Just let me know. And if we want to just sit down and discuss face to face versus.
Okay.
Maybe we could get that done too.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, appreciate your.
Thank you for all your work. Diligence.
Thank you.
So that meeting's October 11th, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. 6:30 to 8:00, right?
And
okay.
Judith?
Yes.
Just kind of a general comment. We're a tiny town with a small population and a small budget. Garfield County is a lot bigger budget, a lot more professional staff available. I really think that an important aspect on it, like with Josh's help now, we do have an official firefighting agreement with the county. And I think the extent that we can integrate our local emergency management plan with county plans is going to be a very important aspect, because I heard a very good presentation earlier this year. They're talking about the Panguitch Lake Dam and just the way that multiple agencies all came together to work on that. You think, well, why did the Highway Patrol send someone down? Well, because people were asking questions like, is I-89 through Panguitch open? They had a public information officer who could tell the news media, yep, it's open. So integrating with the larger county and other agencies, I think, is really important. This is not a time to be going it alone here in Boulder.
Right. Yeah, I don't think beyond a notification system and some original contacting, I do not see you, the chain of command, actually operating as emergency responders. But if you're telling me that at that Panguitch emergency, that they actually stepped up to the plate and actually provided the services as needed, I would like to hear that a second time. If that is in fact the case.
Do you mean you want to hear the presentation that they gave?
No, I want to hear either from you or somebody representing the Panguitch operation that they were satisfied with the county's involvement.
Well, this was by Dave Dodds, by the county sheriff, by the Those were the ones who were presenting. But it was, what they were talking about is the importance of interagency cooperation.
Yes, but they do. There's always a lot of talk about the need for, but the specifics as to the how sometimes is avoided.
Is that recorded, do you think?
No, but I don't think they recorded that meeting.
Yeah, because there was definitely some lessons learned, right? I remember talking to you about it. There were some lessons learned from them, like, oh, this didn't go as we thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There were definitely things there, but one of the takeaways was the importance of all the agencies working together.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we need to integrate with the county EOP, but it is something like 108 pages long. Just throwing that out there. Like, there's a lot to think about in terms of integrating. But we have there's a pretty good one that got provided that I think Castle Valley.
Yes.
And yeah, I don't know. You sent that to me, yes. I think. It's great. Right. It's way too much for us, but it's structured functionally, who's doing what when. It's really nice.
We can tone it down and whittle it down to what we can do. And then if we have to admit that we are of limited resources, and we then need to record where we are going to ask for assistance prior to an emergency.
Yeah, and then I'm meeting with Ray and Corey, we met in here when the power was out this winter. And it's like, well, what if the power's out for 5 days? I mean, we need to set up some warming shelters for some folks, maybe. So there's some other scenarios that we might want to consider that are more local and appropriate.
And shelters is one of the things that I keep chipping away at. If we can't supply the needed shelters here, who do we coordinate with in Escalante? It's the specifics, not just we need shelters. Those are mentioned in our EOP. But when you talk to people such as the church management, they say, well, who's going to supply the porta potties? Those are the specific questions, not just the buildings available. So, yeah, a lot to do. I don't want to take any more of the meeting time. So,
okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, good information. All right, John, on the Lower Boulder Road. But I also want to thank you for filling in for me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, on Lower Boulder Road, unfortunately, we only have one stakeholder. But I think what's really needed at this point, there's a lot of issues. We have a few online, yes. So, with a lot of asphalt crumbling on the edges, some other problem areas, I think the thing that would be appropriate would be to have a stakeholder meeting on Lower Boulder Road, so that people can really express, okay, what are their concerns? What are their goals? What do they want to see accomplished? So we can put together some plan for what we do in 25. So I was going to suggest a meeting. Let me make sure I get the right date. November 14th, which is the evening of the planning meeting, but we would do it earlier, like 6 o'clock, to have a stakeholder meeting just to let people talk about Lower Boulder Road.
Will you?
Donna, please come to microphone.
So that anyone else can hear you. Just saying, there's many people that use
that road, not just people who own land on it.
Stakeholders.
I don't know what you mean by that. Sorry.
Anyone who's got an interest in Lower Boulder Road for whatever reason is welcome to come. So, yes. I think that would be it would be an informal meeting just to listen to people's comments and start identifying what issues and goals we want. Because what I see is that a lot of the problems, we're throwing money away if we don't fix the underlying problem, which in many cases is the lack of proper drainage. So if you repair the edge of the asphalt and the next storm washes the sand away from underneath the asphalt again, you're just wasting.
It's been the problem for a long time.
And then we have the whole questions about trees and fences and how wide the road is. And so this will be a listening session, basically. and people can come and we'll see if, you know, write stuff on big pieces of paper and get some ideas. So we'll announce, if that's okay with everyone, I'll plan to organize the meeting and publicize it.
On our town council meeting? Before the, our town council
meeting? It'd be before the planning commission
meeting. Oh, the PC meeting.
Okay. Yeah, just for the convenience of people want to come here, they don't have to come twice the same day.
Okay.
That's something you need me there to facilitate?
Yeah, I can do it. It would not be an official meeting of a policymaking body.
And you'll just do it in person? You don't need Zoom?
Let me think about that. I think if a lot of stakeholders say that they can't attend in person, then I think it would be a courtesy to do it, have it available on Zoom. I could probably get trained to set that up.
All right. So let's make sure we just keep it at an hour. So we'll let people know that that's the way it's going to be. So.
Well, and if I could mention, that makes it nice. If you're going to do it right before, to respect the planning commission, you need to be done by 6:50 to give everyone 10 minutes to kind of like get in, refocus on what they're doing. And so if you need to start earlier, if you want a true hour.
Okay.
You know, just so that they do have that. Because when we say an hour, most of the time you're going to go over. So then you're going over into the planning commission's time. So just to really make sure that they have the time to properly set up.
And we can also, I'll also invite people to just submit written comments about issues. Because it's mostly to hear what people's concerns are and also what they want to see accomplished. Because I think we'll probably see some contradictory. They want a beautiful road, but they don't want it to look any different, and we don't want to spend any money. And but we'll start getting those things out there, and then we'll work forward from that. All right. So that's Lower Boulder Road.
Okay. Recap of subdivision joint meeting.
Okay. Jessica, if you could bring my file up there, that'll. So.
Let me just share it really fast so that Zoom can.
Yeah. All right. So we ran this basically as an informal committee of the whole with no intention to take action, and that's what we did. Opened with a very good presentation by Nancy, where she discussed the issues and alternatives that the planning commission had discussed, and then we went around and got a list of questions and concerns from the planning from the town council so that we could focus on the areas of controversy. One area we talked about extensively was what we're calling the one lot subdivision, although some people say, well, it really should be two or four lots, but the idea of having a simplified path and exemptions from requirements that make it easy for someone to do the types of subdivisions we have been seeing here in town. Annie Rice, Tyler Durfitt, Elena, Nick Vincent, where the buyer is actively involved in the project. So one of the big things is that not requiring all the infrastructure to be in place at closing, because it's really the buyer who's going to do the work, not the seller. And I think the consent, and Donna alluded to the question that the current draft says you can only do this once on a parcel. And I think we did discuss that at length at the meeting. And the consensus of the town council members was that creation of new lots where the buyer assumes responsibility for site development has been a common practice in Boulder and is compatible with the community. I hope you were the only one who didn't speak into this, and that providing a simplified path is beneficial to applicants and local residents. So encouraging the planning commission to keep those simplified procedures. So then from that topic, we'd return to the planning commission and said, well, work on it some more and come back to us, and I'll have a schedule of what has to be done. It's pretty awesome in terms of deadlines. Then Josh, we talked about fire protection plans, and basically Josh, you can weigh in, but he's got the lead on that. And We're going to need to bring in some resources like the state fire marshal to help us. If you want to add anything, Josh?
Yeah, basically, you know, if we're going to use water tanks or an FPA 1142 type approach, like similar to what Anson did, to make sure that whatever is being specified, we kind of tell the engineer that does the stamping, well, we want certain aspects that are compatible with our fire equipment. So I'm going to work with Corey and Pete on tying all this together and then bring in, try and get the state fire marshal down here, and also discuss with Steve Lutz over in Wayne County. I think they're doing something similar to this. So just make sure that we're, you know, what lessons learned and what is everyone else doing in the state, what's appropriate for our landscape, that sort of thing. So right now in the plan, it just says there will be a fire protection plan that includes one lot subdivisions. So no subdivision in town is exempt from a fire protection plan in the current revision. And I think it's our intention to keep it that way. And then the plan itself will be something separate. It probably will not be done for planning commission consideration. It'll be something that we take up when we review and approve the ordinance as a whole. So it'll come later. It's going to take a little bit of time on that.
All right.
That sounds like a good plan.
And then, can I scroll? Then if you scroll down a little bit. Okay, we talked about lot access and easements, and that's got some difficult questions. And as we ended up with my taking that one on and saying that I would work with Michael Wynn, and I had a phone call with him today. We've got a lot more discussion, but we're batting ideas around and trying to look at how all other jurisdictions balance these issues of where your access crosses somebody else's property. It's a problem throughout the West. We've got lots of people we can learn from of how that's happened. I'm probably going to have a call next week with the State Property Rights Ombudsman. That's a great resource we could talk to. Very, very knowledgeable for a source of information. The last thing we talked about was the infrastructure standards. And I'll get to that. I'll do a real quick high-level presentation. Since everyone's got this vague, what's this thing that Brian's talking about? So I'll give you a quick overview of that. But here, I wanted to just summarize for us. Can we zoom on that so it's a little more readable? Good. Yeah. So this is what's needed. No, back down a little bit. Yeah. This is what we need to do by the end of 2024. We've got three ordinances we need to pass. The big one is to repeal and replace Chapter 152. That one should have a Planning Commission hearing on the 17th of this month, which means that they need to have that hearing posted on Monday. We also have to have a hearing on anything that affects land use, so we would have to have our hearing in November and then be ready to vote on that on December 5th. Now, because since we're repealing the entirety of Section 152, that affects a lot of things in zoning because the two refer to each other. Things like definitions of some definitions, responsibilities of various parties. So there's also an ordinance that Nancy has prepared a draft of. That's the changes in zoning that are required to be consistent with the subdivision chapter. No new policy changes, no rezoning, just making the two consistent. Then there is in Chapter 152 right now a couple sections that apply to building permits. How they got there, I don't know. But when we repeal 152, that language needs to be moved to Chapter 151, which is the building permit section. Same schedule. Michael is going to verify. I think we do not have to have a town council hearing on a change that's not land use. I've got a question mark there, but again, that would have to be voted on December 5th. Then we need a resolution to adopt the infrastructure standards that I'll talk about in a couple of minutes. Those don't require formal hearings, but the Planning Commission needs to accept some public comment on that in November. And again, we need to be ready to vote on that by December 5th. Then we have to have a resolution. We found that a number of our adopted codes are out of date. And there's a couple that the state fire marshal has recommended we adopt, a couple appendices. So we need to do a resolution to update the list that's in our ordinance of the town codes with dates, the standard codes that are adopted by reference. And then the last one is we have to appoint the administrative land use authority members. So that's six major votes not be rushed, which means in November we should discuss them, be clear on what we're doing, and then be able to have a month to think about it and have the staff make sure that the written document is exactly what we want, so that when we vote in December, we don't have any confusion about exactly what we're approving.
Yeah, we're under the gun. So
it's sort of a first and second reading of the ordinance. So
okay.
Before we move on, Nancy put her hand up while you were saying this. I don't know if either of you want to address it. I just want you to know.
I did. Oh, there she is.
Yeah, Nancy?
John, I just wanted to point out, we actually already held a public hearing on the zoning ordinance.
Oh, excuse me. You're correct. Thank you.
So we don't have to do that again. And we should have, you know, I realize now we should have passed that on to you. You could have dealt with it at this meeting, but it's better that you're going to deal with them all at once. But we're done with that one in the Planning Commission.
Okay. Danger of cut and paste. Thank you, Nancy. All right. So any questions about that schedule?
No.
All right. So since Josh said, what am I going to see what these standards look like? Let's scroll down. So what most towns do, you've got your ordinance that sets the basic requirements, but then they have some type of design manual, standard drawings. They call it lots of different things. I've seen some that are 20, 30 pages. I've seen some like Kane County, it's a couple hundred pages where they have details of curbs and gutters and street signs and all that. Well, we're somewhere in between. But the purpose of the standard is that we need to replace all the discretionary language that's in our current subdivision ordinance, where it says, as approved by the town, with some clear objective standards so the applicant knows what's expected. The ALUA can be consistent in what is being required. So these are trying to establish objective criteria to protect the town's interests, give guidance to both the applicant and the ALUA, and suggest options that a do-it-yourself developer can use without expensive engineering. Those standards, as I said, they're guidance, and the applicant always has the option to propose equal or better alternatives, and we'll make sure that that's in the enabling language. I've been sort of taking this on to write them with the help of a lot of other people. These are an attempt to document our current practice, not create new rules. And they're based on citing existing codes, which was Pete Benson's advice, and borrowing from other jurisdictions. The other thing I've tried to do that makes it a little difficult is we don't want to adopt by reference things that really are forcing us to build a suburban style subdivision, because I think everyone who's talked to me about it says, yeah, we don't want something that looks like a St. George subdivision here in Boulder. And these would be a living document. They would be adopted by town council resolution, so they'll be very easy to update or revise as we get some experience using them.
Is this the one you presented to the Planning Commission?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I figured that's but,
yeah, Josh and Gladys haven't seen that. So scroll down, Jessica, if you can. So some sample pages. So let's just kind of scroll down here. So things like, a road cross section. This is something Sam Stout and I came up with. It's pretty much what Sam Stout would build if you said, hey, Sam, build me a road. We've got what you do if you're on loose blow sand and silt, or if you're on slick rock and compacted soil, but widths, slopes, road count, and so forth. So if an applicant says, okay, I'm going to build my access road to meet the standard, then the ALUA can say, well, then you've met the guideline and you're home free. If they want to hire an engineer to design something different and fancier, they can. Okay, scroll down here. Keep going. Keep going. Okay. Then we've got things like the turnarounds. This is the handout that Pete Benson has been giving people all along. Nothing changed really there. Keep going. Addressed a little more clarity on the need for, if you've got a narrow lane, a 12-foot lane, if you follow the fire code, you want to have turnouts along the way. So if you've got a long road without the ability to pass, detail of an intersection, dealing with sight lines, stop signs, street identification, turning radius. Keep going. Keep going. Change the slope. Now, this is the stuff I've been talking about with Michael about, okay, exactly, if somebody is doing a new access and is getting an easement to cross somebody's property, we need, I think, better language than we had in the past, or clearer language as far as exactly how wide the easement is, who's the beneficiary, that it does run with the land, making sure the width is adequate so that you can maintain the road and have drainage on the side and so forth. So, and that this is all of this right now is very much work in progress. I want to keep going. Stormwater plan, that one did a little more work on. I focused on the fact that under federal law, which the state has adopted, you have to have a stormwater drainage plan if your disturbed area is more than an acre. Well, that would be a tip for a typical residence. You're most likely going to be around a quarter acre disturbance. So most subdivisions would be exempt. But if somebody were to do something the size of Boulder King Estates with a mile and a half of roads, then they would have to address the stormwater plan anyway. So that's where I put I put guidance in saying you could either hire an engineer to size your culvert for you, or we can use some default sizing, which are oversized but adequate based on town practice.
So since it's not finished, now we've got the general idea of what you're putting in place with these standards, exactly. John. So I don't think, is there much more to it? Because we no, could,
that,
that's pretty well it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So...
The other one was we have to, well, I'll scroll down, Jessica, one last one. So we do have some inconsistencies in our ordinance that we talk about jurisdictional wetlands in our ordinance, and we talk about floodplains. And that's what, you've asked me to get involved with the floodplain mapping. We actually don't have a floodplain map for Boulder, and we don't have Army Corps of Engineers wetlands. So I would propose we use the Utah Geologic Survey map as a guideline to say what is or is not a wetland. I think all of these things are really open to discussion. They're open to feedback. The more feedback I get, the better. I think as soon as we put them in place, people are going to start saying, well, that's not right. And we'll say, well, then let's change it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's what the standards will look like.
Okay.
Thank you for your indulgence on that.
The chart of the dates.
Sure.
I'm just adding them.
I wrote them all down in my notes too.
In this moment, I'm adding them to my calendar with notices, right?
Yeah, it's like
a lot. Okay, so that's it on that one.
Great.
We get for the subdivision joint meeting.
All right. The Planning Commission vacancy appointment. Daryl, as all you know, has been filling in for Shelley for quite a few months. And the reason we didn't advertise that right now is because, number one, he is highly qualified, wants the job. He has been in this whole procedure with the Planning Commission and all the ordinances. So as a council, we feel that it's that he's very well qualified for the position. We will advertise for the alternate, but we just need to make that appointment tonight so that he can officially be part of the Planning Commission and vote as such.
That's your appointment with our advice. Do you want a motion to advise that we agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will so move.
Okay.
Josh will second.
Gladys?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Then, with the council's approval, we will appoint Daryl Fuller as the full-time planning commission member, and welcome him. I don't know if he's on. Is he on? Anyway, he's done a really good job, and I feel really good about having him in that place. So, and he's been really good about being at all the meetings and participating. So, and Shelley, I want to thank Shelley. I don't think she's on either, but she's run into a lot of problems. I know what they are. So I know it's been really, really tough for her. And I appreciate everything she's done in the past on the Planning Commission. You know, her heart was in the right place, but life is real. I can testify to that. Anyway, okay. Well, welcome, Daryl.
Mayor, I was going to suggest, since we're coming up, our next meeting will be already in November, and Tina's term on planning runs out at the end of December. We probably should, I'm sure she's going to want to reapply, but it's up to her. I think we probably should advertise that for two positions and say people can indicate if they want to apply for the regular one or the alternate or both.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, good idea. Yeah, the end of the year is just creeping up fast. Yes. Creeping, no creeping. It's coming. All right. Financial review, Josh, what would you like to talk about?
I guess I'll just start with this. I would like to make a motion that we schedule a call with the auditor before October 17th. And if someone will second, then we can discuss that.
Okay, I will second that.
Okay.
Hang on. Just, will you state it again?
Make a motion to schedule a call with the auditor before October 17th. I also have it written in my notes.
I'm just writing all the notes.
And John seconded.
The minutes.
John seconded.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we spent $3,000 on our audit with him. I noticed that in the checks. And somehow our audits didn't manage to catch that we had $40,000 in excess cash sitting around because we hadn't paid our quarterly employee quarterlies. So I really want to have a conversation with them and figure out what their audit is then, if it's not finding that, and also perhaps get some recommendations on what we can do to prevent this from recurring. I think that was probably going to be part of what Lacey was going to discuss, in this section, but I do feel like it's very appropriate given what happened that we sit down with the auditor and ask them, you know, okay, we spent $3,000 with you and you didn't catch this for years. So what kind of audit are you doing and what kind of audit can we be done? And I have, you know, a handful of questions for them that I think are appropriate to ask.
Also, you know, Polaris is the one who caught it. And since this goes back so far, well, when we bring Polaris in 2021.
Yeah, and I want to make sure Polaris didn't necessarily catch it, because that's.
Yeah, that's what that was another thing. Polaris didn't catch it. For the 2 years, but then ended up catching it later on. So, and a lot of it has to do with training. We definitely need to find out if to have that check system to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But our training and everything now, you know, getting our clerks trained and having everything in place when we end up having a new clerk at some point or other down the road, you know, so that we know that it all our checks and balances are there.
I'll speak in favor of that. You know, this is pretty normal practice. In fact, if that state auditor's office training that we take actually mentions that the legislative body should periodically talk directly to the auditor.
Yeah, and they're good.
And, you know, we can.
Sure they will.
And one of my biggest questions is going to be, how do we make sure that our treasurer and our town clerk have the professional support that they need to do their job?
That's fine.
So, yeah. Yeah, I will speak strongly in favor of having that call. And if we can get some written questions to them in advance, they'll be able
to. Do you want him in on the town council meeting, or you want to talk to him separate? What?
No, I guess we could do a separate noticed meeting. It's kind of a pain. I guess it depends on what everyone feels like. Like John and I could do it with Jessica remotely. I should be remote. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I don't care.
I would say if they can, they probably prefer to do it during business hours. So we could, if that's what they would prefer, we could just schedule a time and have it as an online meeting.
Yeah.
Notice it for the record.
We can notice it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's just what I was going to say. So we're going to notice it as a public meeting. Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine with that.
I also think that's fair because then also the more council members that want to be there can just do it through Zoom.
Yeah.
Like it'll make the call so much easier if the auditor is on Zoom and then each person is on, like if you're on a Zoom, you're good on a point. Zoom, you're on
yeah,
a Zoom.
And that way everyone can answer, ask questions if they have them. And
be and I get, I would like to make another comment before we vote, more general. So one of the weird things about Polaris is that it doesn't integrate automatically with your bank account. So if you use QuickBooks, for example, to run your business, it downloads all of your transactions from your bank and you log in and it shows up and it's like, you have to categorize these. Well, Polaris does not do that. So you have to manually connect your bank account transactions to your ledger manually instead of, so like things can fall through the cracks then. So this makes reconciliation of the ledger much more important, which I think Lacey talked about with Roger, and you know, there's going to be whole conversations around that. But the system that we have implemented doesn't do that automatically. So it leads to significant opportunities for error that don't exist in other systems. And there's probably some good reason that Polaris does it this way. I don't know what that is, but they do this for municipalities all over the place. This is their thing. So I assume there's a good reason for it. But, you know, John's mentioned to me in conversation about having a detailed audit every time a treasurer changes over in an organization, both so that the organization knows that everything is good, but also for the protection of the treasurer. So I don't like the exposure that us having 40 grand sitting in the bank account provides to Jessica and Lacey as the main money handlers in our organization. I think there's a huge liability there. Nothing good's going to come of it. And I think it's our responsibility to rein that in and assume that this might not be the only weird thing happening, right? Like we don't know. So we have a good handle on our budget now. Thanks to Jessica and Judy's work over many years. But now I think we need to work on our balance sheet side of things. So what is all this money in checking and savings and what accounts is it attributed to on our asset sheet, that sort of thing. And that's kind of a different kind of audit. And you need those two things to get a clear picture of the financials of an organization. One's the P&L or the budget, and the other is your balance sheet or your asset sheet. So I think we're missing that, and something's obviously missing, right, around all of this.
Well, I want to make sure too, and this is not the answer, but we didn't have a treasurer before Lacey was hired. And so that alone was huge. And so,
yeah,
I mean, I just really want to point that out, that yes, there's so much room for error. And that is why I fought so hard to have a deputy clerk and to have that person take over the treasurer for the checks and balances. So we did not, I mean, yes, Gladys was a treasurer, Steve Johnson was, but all that really meant was that they signed checks and just double checked that, maybe went over a couple invoices. And that was Gladys who brought up, like, this job is much bigger than what we have it as. And that is very apparent. And so that's the thing too, is that, you know, the question has been asked, like, why didn't Lacey catch this? Well, I want to remind everyone that Lacey was only hired at the beginning of the year. And our main training that we did at the very beginning was on deputy clerk position, especially knowing that she was about to have a baby. So we went into deputy clerk. We still really didn't touch much of the financials at that point. She had her baby. And then only since then, so May, has she been doing the reconciliations, actually getting into the bank accounts. And this, again, was why we set this up. And so we definitely knew that there was errors. They have been in the process of fixing them. And that's, I appreciate everyone's support as we've done that, because since I came in last year, that has been, that was Judy's biggest thing for me, was to make sure that all the financials did get straightened out. It has taken quite a bit because of like what you just said, Josh. We do have to make sure that every single transaction is manually entered. None of that was, I shouldn't say none. A lot of that was not happening before we got in here. And so just learning what that actually looked like and putting those in. So just on that side, I just want to make sure that everyone does see that. Like, yes, right in this minute, we are a pretty functioning body with more hands. But before Lacey came in, there wasn't. And so we are trying. And that's why I think that these positions, I mean, it was even brought up when I resigned that you guys wanted to go back to taking the position down to fewer hours, taking some of the roles away. And I want to make sure that these are those conversations that we have of like, that's why I fought so hard for that position and the hours, because it is extremely important in these checks and balances and making sure that we're doing everything correctly.
Yeah.
So
I think who's going to make the phone call to the auditor?
I mean, I can, it's fine.
Yeah. Just schedule it.
I just have to have town council consent, cause I'm sure it'll cost money to do that. And then we can talk to them later about.
Let's see, well, we have to vote on the motion, which would give you the consent. So
yeah, exactly.
We have a motion and second. We've had our debate.
Okay, all in favor of making an appointment with the auditor? Say aye.
Josh, aye.
Will you just clarify the date?
Before October 17th.
Thank you. I just wanted it to be repeated in that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye. Motion carries.
Okay. So can I just make, doesn't have to be. So is there a better program than Polaris? Would we be better to go QuickBooks? And I don't have the answer to this.
I will answer on just those two. No. QuickBooks is awesome for the financials, but when you look at it, like, so whoever does the homework of whatever, Polaris does a huge amount more than just financials. And so like, just when we look at those programs, they also offer so much, like documentation on what they hold. What am I trying to say? Like Jessica, reports and audits.
That's the kind of question we should be asking the auditor in terms of better software. When we ask for an audit, are we asking for the right level of audit? I think those are the kinds of questions we need to ask directly to the auditor. Yeah. I think I'm 90% sure you're right, but I don't.
And I wasn't stating that my answer. Okay. I'm just saying on that one level alone. Yeah. And our auditors you can talk to them because they do love Polaris and it's a really great company to work for the auditors as well. So.
And there's a few municipalities that use them, quite a few. So. All right. That it, Josh?
There's more that I will wait for a later meeting and wait. It'd be fair to hear from Lacey, right? So.
Okay.
I will refrain on the rest of that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fee schedule, facility fees. And I think we better just stick to that tonight so we get out of here on time.
Okay. So those just were notes.
Ignore those. I thought I had printed out the actual document, but I just made a copy of what was on my desk really fast.
Now, so these that are typed in, is that what we actually charge right now?
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is what was adopted last year when you guys put this
in. These notes out here or notes that you made, something we need to think about.
Okay. Well, and actually, no. So I will say the pavilion with the question mark and then 150, those were added last year.
Okay.
And the thing, so the auditorium, it was listed, but they hadn't had any numbers. So when you guys adopted it last year, you put those in as well.
Wow, there's a lot on here.
Do you want to?
How are we?
Yeah. So, okay. So, I will make a motion that we defer this to the next meeting. And then if someone seconds, I will throw a few things out to discuss.
Okay, Gladys will second.
All right, open for discussion.
Okay. I think it would be handy to add all of these to the spreadsheet that Aaron put together, so all the fees are in one spot.
Okay.
Can you do that, please? There's a lot more going on here than I thought. I called Corey today, and I asked him about this, and I said, what's the deal with people renting out the building or whatever? You know, how much time does it take you? And he said, well, it depends on who it is. Some people clean up really well, and some people leave pots and pans in the sink that he has to wash dishes. And so it's real variable. And I was talking to him on speakerphone, and Jill threw out the idea of, what if we have a cleaning deposit that is refundable? And the amount you get back is how much work has to be done by Corey to clean the building after you're done. And that would obviously be subjective, but it's either that or you're going to get none back.
Right? Maybe we could put together some kind of a thing for cleaning. These things have to be done.
Yeah,
to get all of your feedback.
There he is, and it's booked in the bulletin.
Okay. Where's it at?
It's just on the bulletin right back here.
Oh, okay.
So I'm throwing that out there as food for thought for when we dig into this again. Maybe a lot of these fees, you know, if we're just interested in covering cleaning, there's a way to do that without necessarily having to charge someone money every time they use the building.
And we've also discussed whether it's local people using it,
yeah,
or an outside, like the Fuller Brush Man comes to display his stuff. That's just it.
But,
you know what I mean? Wants to use the building, yes. You know, that we would charge something different. I think also, I believe that we always, Bosch used to use it occasionally. They always paid, I'm not sure, what other groups?
Like just barely, the Arts Council just had their
writing
workshop.
And they paid
they do, just because they use that one event as profit. So whenever they use the building otherwise, they do not pay. That's also something that I would like to bring up. This year, the Arts Council has done an amazing job bringing a lot of classes and gatherings to the town. In the past 2 months, I mean, they have something at least once a week in the building, if not two times a week. They usually do not create more than just maybe your footprints coming in the ground, you know. But they do not pay for any of that. And so I think it's just one of those things that I just want to bring up to the council to like be aware of. Everyone's still okay with that. It's an acknowledgement that, like, you know, that's also something that the town gives back, is that we don't charge the Arts Council for any of that if they use it, or, you know, for any of the cleaning stuff, just because it is used quite a bit by them, but it's all for, you know, really awesome things that they're trying to bring to the community. So I think there is a difference in things too. Like when we say a deposit, just to be, it's hard because the normal person who uses the building right now is like Constance, who does yoga, or like the Death Cafe, where they just literally use it to facilitate like a small meeting. And then the more abnormal, that doesn't happen all the time, is the more like, I want to use the kitchen to host this, or, you know, like the writer's workshop that just happened, or the,
or a family
Christmas
reunion.
Market. Yeah. I mean, but even that, they don't happen very often, you know, like, and so what are those distinctions, if there are any, and maybe there's not, but, you know, like when you're talking about a deposit too, what does that look like for just like Constance, who does yoga, compared to, you know, someone who's like using the facility? I don't know. So just in those, you know, yeah, like the building is used in such different ways too. And so I don't know how you do that, like across the board. Also, it's not like to be looked at as favoritism, but just as a, you know, it is used so differently. So just to share that.
Okay. I think, you know, one thing I noticed when I did the comparison with other towns, that our rentals are actually fairly expensive for the type of building we have. And it doesn't do the town any good to have it sit here vacant. I really think that basically any nonprofit Boulder-based civic activity should be free. As far as deposits, what I've seen most commonly is write me a check for $50. If the place is clean, you get your check. I tear up the check or give it back to you. So it becomes pretty simple. But it also says, well, if somebody leaves a mess in the kitchen, we don't have to go and hound them for saying, hey, Corey spent 4 hours cleaning up after you. But I really think our philosophy should be not local, nonprofit, civic things, even if they collect nominal fees, like Andrea for her dance classes. We want the building to be used because it builds our community. It's a community resource. I do agree with Gladys. If somebody wants to rent it commercially, the one time when we were going to have that housing meeting and we got bumped because some university group had already booked the town hall. Mm-hmm. Okay, that sort of thing they need to be paying for.
Yes.
But that would be non Boulder community things. So that's my philosophy. We should probably just zero out the fees for local nonprofits and charge something that does get the town some revenue for out of town activities, and probably just giving a check for a reasonable cleaning fee. So for someone like Constance, she could give you a check at the start of the year, and at the end of the year, it still hasn't been cashed. She's always left it clean. So that'd be my suggestion. Keep it simple.
Well, I think the deposit would be a good thing for anybody that had family reunions or any time the kitchen's really used, you know, that would cause a problem for Corey or a big cleanup. That way, if they clean it up, they get their deposit back. But I'm kind of with you, John. I like the idea of the community to be able to use the town hall. The only thing I wonder about is the propane in the winter. Because propane is so dang expensive, you know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm. I will say it does make a difference. And we've had a little bit of an issue with people coming in and turning up the thermostats. And then because no one is in the building that often, they sit on for an entire week. Corey and I know this now, though, so we monitor it a lot more. But that does mean that, like, Corey's in the building more, monitoring, you know, just little things that I don't think it does make a difference. I mean, but the bill still isn't that high. I mean, our highest bill was, you know, maybe the mid 200s. And this building isn't on propane. It's on electric.
Oh, yeah, it's all electricity. Yeah. That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there definitely is a cost to that. But I think, you know, you have to weigh those in your decision of if it's worth letting them in or not. Because it's not that high of a cost in my perspective. Sorry.
So that the end of discussion.
Gladys, would you take a stab at maybe simplifying, since you're in charge of the facilities, would you mind coming back with a proposal that's maybe we don't need to list out every square foot of the building in a separate...
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it seems like there's a lot of line items on there.
I do also think, sorry, and this just came to my mind, because it would be nice too if we had, so what we don't have in place is last year there was someone who held an event that had a lot of candles. And the only way that we knew this is through seeing the pegboard saying, bring your candle with you and then we will light them all. And that really scared Corey and I.
No,
we actually have nothing to tell you what you can and cannot do in the building, what happens if they damage the building, who has liability for that. So, I mean, those are all things that, like, so as we do open the building up to the public, we do also at the same time have to protect ourselves, you know? So, I mean,
yeah, that is a big one.
Like,
Michael could probably give us a boilerplate thing, yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure. So if we can, I think that, like, as that was something too that happened, we were like, whoa, okay. How do you tell someone what they are and are not allowed to do in the building? Because I'm sure that seemed simple and safe to that person. Corey and I looked at that a very different way. So,
especially because we realized after that we did not have smoke detectors.
That's actually that's the conversation so
it
that really like struck up.
It was actually a good thing.
It was a great thing. Yep. It was great.
Pointed now, out that somehow this building,
because we're like, you're going to set off all the smoke detectors, and we're like, oh no, you're not. All right, they don't exist.
All right, so we're going
to maybe you want me to, you know, we haven't talked about table and chair rentals. I'll just put that on there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, because that was an issue this year. Good idea. All right. What was our motion?
It was to table it till next
month. Table. Okay. All in favor of tabling it till next month, say aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye. Oh, my.
Thank you, Gladys.
This has been an interesting week for me. Oh, okay.
Hey, wait, sorry. Who made that motion and who seconded it? I'm really sorry.
John. I made the motion and I believe John seconded it.
Thank you both.
Independence Day.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this one. So this one is a little bit different than it was last year just because Jeff Sanders is amazing in the way that his mind works and his organization and his spreadsheets and everything else. He was not on the committee this year, so it's a little bit different. So at this point, I don't have like numbers. Like last year, he was really good about like, here's everything that that it costs us. And then here's all the donations that we brought in. Then here's a final number. And then he had a bunch of like how it went this year, advice for next year. There's a little bit of that. But our biggest thing was that having the conversation of what the Independence Day looks like as the council, who has now decided, you know, for the past couple of years to take on the 4th of July. So that is a thing. And then who is going to be in charge of it for this year coming up? And, you know, it was in conversation with Lacey mostly because, you know, she did take a big part of that role on and just saying, you know, no matter if it's a council member who's in charge, or if you do ask a certain body of, you know, people to do that, if it can be something that we maybe give them a year or two to try and work out of the kinks instead of having someone new every single year. And the second thing to this is also, we talked about having kind of a, I mean, Jeff kind of started it, but the things like, here's what we expect you, whoever the committee or whoever the person is, to do for the 4th of July. So since the town has taken that on, like the town needs to kind of write like a 4th of July how to or expectations. And a lot of that came up because a lot of things were changed this year. So like dates or adding events. And there was a lot of feedback on those, good and bad. And just making sure that the town kind of gives the people, you know, a standard. And so those are two very different things of saying, you know, who do you want to be in charge of the 4th of July, or who will volunteer, or what is the idea behind that? But we want to make sure that that gets assigned soon. And then this was something that I wanted to ask Josh, only because you have so much knowledge in it, that if you could help possibly write the like things you think you need to do and kind of like when, you know, like, if you feel okay about that, about just kind of starting that would be.
I'm way okay.
Very helpful.
Out there.
Okay. Yeah, and how many people it'll take, you know, to put it together and just.
Well, that depends, but I mean, I can at least provide some ideas of like what we learned. I can get together with Pam and pick her brain.
Yeah, you know, just someone like, okay, so then we assign John tomorrow and he has his own idea, but maybe John doesn't think that he needs to hire music in December for the 4th of July, but you found that out and your knowledge for all the years. If you don't mind sharing that, that would just be really helpful.
No, I think that's a really good idea. And I think recruiting for the committee, like maybe, you know, in the next month or two, we should put out a request to recruit for next year's committee.
Yes.
Because we would usually start planning in January.
Yeah. And this is not something at all that any of the business owners have stated. This was just my own, like the business association or whatever they're called did such a great job taking that on this year. They are some of the few people in the town though that actually have like requirements and hours that they have to do during that time. And so they are maybe not the ones to ask to like put on a whole 4th of July while they're trying to run businesses at the exact same time. So they've all been amazing at like giving donations and helping out as much as possible. But I think that when that came down to the wire, I mean, they were all trying to like, I mean, even Gladys included, you're trying to work your job and run your business and trying to put on the 4th of July. So just even if they volunteer, maybe we try to look for a different group so we don't put that weight on them.
Okay, one of the things we need to decide is what day are you going to have the 4th of July on? Mm-hmm. I mean, what day is the 4th of July this year? That's probably a real important thing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we can have a committee figure it out.
That's okay.
Yeah, as long as the town, it's actually on a Friday, so that's very convenient.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Sounds like it will happen the 4th.
Friday makes it real easy, doesn't
it? Yep, sure does. That means it will be on Friday. Yep.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and so whatever that looks like. But yeah, we just really wanted to start that conversation. So I don't know if that means like assigning a council member who will raise their hand and say, I will take on communications of finding the committee or what that looks like. But that needs to happen amongst you guys to figure out what that process looks like so we can make sure that it is put into place at a good time.
Let's wait until this winter more. There's still, if you start in January, you have plenty of time. Only so because
on the December agenda.
I would rather you not. That's why I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The December agenda is massive as it is right now.
That's right.
I would think
so November.
No, we have all this. I mean, there's a whole meeting of just subdivision stuff for sure.
So just even in November, if you know what you're doing.
We could request for recruits and try putting together a list of people on an ongoing basis for the next few months. Mm-hmm. And then I say we pick it up again in January.
Great. Yeah. Whatever you guys think. I just want that to be something that is your responsibility. So how do we make sure to follow through from point A to point B?
You just send out a request for the committee recruits? Like we're looking to put together.
Yes.
What, just something on pegboard?
Yeah. And we'll just do it, you know, every.
We could put a couple of sign up sheets like we did before. See if anybody wants to. At the stores, you know.
So what I'm more interested in is, okay, so then you get these recruits and who do they talk to? Because I want that to be a person.
It will be a person later this winter.
Great. So then we shouldn't put this notice out until they have someone to talk to.
I think we can start asking people now and just say, okay, that's great. We're going to pick it up again later. We're just letting people think about
okay, it. Okay, so when they respond to me, then that will be my answer. We'll pick it back up. And
if you're interested, you've been added to the list. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Is that it on the 4th, Jess?
I think so.
Okay.
That's a pretty easy one.
Change to meeting minutes. Is that yours, Josh?
Okay. So, I took our recordings and I uploaded them to a few AI-based transcription services, played around with them, and one called otter.ai was phenomenally good. Daryl's using it with some of his clients as well, and he's also highly impressed with it. So we've revamped our audio scene here and are now recording these mics directly into the computer instead of the owl recording the whole room audio. So that should help a lot with the transcription quality, but it outputted a summary, which I emailed to you all. It timestamps the discussion items, and then you can create a public link. You click on that. And I'm looking at the audience because this affects you more than us. You can click on it, and it'll take you directly to the transcript and the moment in the audio recording where that was discussed. So you don't have to slide and look at the agenda and spend 10 minutes trying to get to the right point. Like you can go directly to the thing you care about instantly. It's really cool. So we have an account for it. What I would like to do is utilize this meeting as a trial run with good audio and have Jessica upload it and then output the summary
and then use that as the basis for meeting minutes. Now, it is different. So the transcript is not 100% accurate, obviously, but state law doesn't require a transcript. Under state law, we can have subject matter reference to a timestamp in a recording. The downside to that is we are required to permanently archive the recording forever. The upshot to that is that's really easy to do now. And we're already uploading into the public notice website. So we'll have multiple, we can have multiple copies floating around of the recording to permanently archive it. I think from a, like, I don't know who actually reads the meeting minutes in town versus listening. I think most people prefer to just listen to the recording. They use the minutes to find out where in the recording to go, but most people want to hear the actual conversation and not a summary of it. So basically we're kind of doing like a semi-transcript style now that we've been doing, where it's like somewhat summarized, but you know, some stuff's verbatim. This would be a change to be more of a summary referencing the recording. So it is a fundamental change to our minutes. But I think we can provide this link to the website. So on a month-to-month basis, the citizen experience of engaging our meeting will be radically better than it is now. They'll be able to find the information they want precisely faster. Also, you'll be able to just skim the minutes and see what was talked about in 30 seconds instead of like going through page and page. So I want to try having the minutes. So I don't know if we want to do two sets of minutes this month, like, or just have Lacey try it based on the summary and we review it next month as a standing agenda item. I don't know if we want to have public input, solicit public input on this, because it affects the citizens more than us. So I'm just throwing it out there. But I think based on the summary, it should be fantastically easier to do the summary meeting minutes in terms of time. So it captured like rescinding motions, like when we rescinded those motions that the recording didn't catch, it captured that. So it's like, all you have to do is go in there and say, who made the motion, who seconded, and what the votes were on each of those line items. And it's, you know, it's
right there.
It's there. It's all, I mean, it's creepy good. Really, it's like terrifyingly good. And that was with bad audio. So we'll see how well it does now that we have really good audio. I think it'll be a lot better. It'll learn our voices over time to recognize our names over time. So the more we feed it, the better it's going to get at recognizing our names. It picked up Blake Spaulding, her name that she stated. It picked that up. It's creepy, but really powerful. So I think this will work well. And so I would like to, you know, I guess I'll just make a motion that we utilize this summary for the meeting minutes this month. And then we can
discuss more if we don't like it.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Okay.
All right. Well, I agree. I think we need some input from the town, you know. As long as we get our information, and there's many, many times that I've gone in and wanted to listen to something, but didn't want to have to go through the whole thing to find out what I wanted to. So, you know, time stamping it is a good idea. We can give it a try and let people try it out and see what they think, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, John, I can see your wheels
turning. No, I love the idea. I think the only, probably starting with the summary that it produces, it may need a little editing like I had to do with the closed meeting, just the clarification of state law says we have to state that we took the vote and it didn't pick it up or something. That's going to be much easier to edit than, I think, because it's going to get most of it right in the first place. So I think it's a great idea. It'll take a lot of load off our staff, which they've got more important things to work on than listening to the recording twice to type it up.
Well, we can give it a try and see how it works. You know, it seems to be working for other people. So,
and if I can, I have a little bit of a comment, and this is mostly from Lacey. We talked about it a little bit. I think the biggest thing with moving into this is just really clarifying what you expect from her and what her responsibility is in this. So there is something that this recording is good, but there's a lot of things that it does make mistakes with. And right now, even the mistakes that Lacey makes, you guys go back in, I want this wording change. I want this wording to be matched to exactly what was said, or to pick up the exact way that you want it to be written. And so like, there's something in there that even just because it's such a great example and it's what Josh picked out, Blake makes this comment, and then the way that it depicts of what she said was so off. And so that was very easy for me to look and be like, because it just named even like she was the owner of Hell's Backbone Grill, but it did not say Hell's Backbone Grill. It said some other words. I can't remember what it is. And so with that means that you are either going to trust the program that the words that it is using are correct. If not, then Lacey is going to have to listen to the recording over again at the exact same time as looking at the transcription and saying, oh, it did actually transcribe correctly, and those words are the right ones, and this is where we're moving. And so when you talk about saving time, sort of, and maybe in the future it might, and as it learns everything, yes. But as we've looked at it and what you have kind of asked of, you know, like I said, even Lacey and the things that you've asked her to rewrite certain motions because it wasn't to the exact T of the word. And then this is not to the T. And so I just kind of want everyone to be prepared for that realistic, and then to really say what you want Lacey to do with this. You know, is it her responsibility to go back in, check that the recording is the same? Do you want her to make the edits? Is she not responsible for them at all? And maybe that will change over time. You know, maybe this month she's really responsible for checking those things. And then as AI learns it and it's getting better, maybe her role will lessen. But she wants to make sure that that is very clear in what your expectation is of her, what you expect her to have, and then what's being put out. So yeah, I just kind of, as we have this conversation, it does seem like it's a great program, but there is these certain things that I want you all to be very clear on as we move forward in this program.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I would say that this move would significantly simplify our minutes because we would be referring to the recordings. And by that, I mean the summary picked up, Blake Spaulding and Nina Brownell expressed support for alternative pathway plans, including a permeable surface and minimizing construction disruptions. I would consider that complete as a public comment with no, so the transcript would be basically don't trust it because it's an AI generated transcript. That's not what we're going for. I would say most of what's summarized here, we call that good. Jennifer Bach comments on RV ordinance changes, expressing concerns about public input and the amendment to the ordinance. That's great. You know, there's no need to. So anyway, I think, you know, what I'm proposing is we use the summary as the basis, which dramatically simplifies the minutes from what we've been doing. And then the only thing that we care about a lot is, you know, did it miss a discussion topic, which it seems like it doesn't, or at least very, very rarely. And then the motions, the exact wording, the motions and the votes would be the important things. And then so we're always going to have input. Like, that's the point to us reviewing them. Like, we'll just go in, you know.
Yes. But I still think she's having to still go in and listen to that whole recording to make sure that it's picking everything up.
No.
I would say don't do that.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so yeah. I just want you to be so clear on, like, what your expectations are.
So I think that's a really good point. So I would be happy to sit down with you and Lacey and develop a template document that we can copy and paste this into.
Okay.
It has all the other crap we need, right?
Yep.
So I'm happy to do that with you this month.
Okay.
And make sure that Lacey feels comfortable in what's being expected of her out of this.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was the biggest thing with her is just because, like I said, with right now, the changes that are being asked, she was like, okay, but then you're going to a summary and like, that's okay. But she's, like I said, she just wants to make sure that she feels very clear in what her role is in this transition of changing these drastically.
So I will say that a big part of the reason that you get a lot of changes is because you have a lot of detail.
If you have less detail, you will have less changes, right? It's like the less email, the more you emails you answer, the more emails you get, right? It's like that. So that's the idea behind starting with the summary as the starting point for the minutes. And if it seems sufficiently complete, then just leave it. And we're always going to have some kind of edits for whatever reason or another. That's why we review them. Obviously, we will want to spend more time this coming month on this, you know, as a group reviewing and making sure that we like this. We'll have to figure out how to catalog these. You know, there'll be some things we need to work out for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would like to try this month as a trial run and see how your experience is, how Lacey's experience is, see how we like it. Get community input once we have it. You know, it'll generate in 5 minutes. We can send it out and say, here's the public link. Let us know what you think about transitioning.
That's a good idea.
We can send out a pegboard and get some feedback. I mean, I think that's a great idea.
Yep.
We're not really a stakeholder here from a user perspective.
Yeah.
Like, this is for the people. So we need to hear from them too. So anyway, I appreciate you expressing those concerns, and I'm happy to work with you both on to make this as simple as possible.
Well, I'll still do a question.
Oh, yeah.
I would reinforce that. I think, you know, Lacey, what we should hope for is that we could take the AI summary, paste it into a template, and then with some very light editing, have what Ann McFarland calls action minutes. And then we've got the AI transcript for the full flavor of the detail of how we got there and the insights into how the decisions were made. So mostly, as Josh said, we will have to take the AI generated transcript and add a few details to make sure it captures the things that state law says we have to have in the minutes. And that burden falls on us as the people who were in the meeting as we review the minutes to make sure if it didn't pick up exactly how I worded the motion, I have to get that fixed. That's my burden, not Lacey's.
No, that's true. Yeah. All right. We got 5-9. And we've got...
I believe I had a motion on it.
Oh, did I thought we... Okay.
No. Yeah, it's been first, second. There's been a lot of discussion. So
on the discussion. Yep. Okay. All in favor of... state your total motion, Josh.
Utilizing the AI, otter.ai summary as the basis for the meeting minutes on this meeting as a trial run for our review.
And John seconded, right?
So now we're
okay.
You seconded. I just
Sorry.
Yeah, at least that's what I wrote down.
Yes, you did. That's right.
Okay, all in favor.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye. All right, we'll give it a try. So we've got three left, an up and coming business. Can we get through this within 15, 20 minutes?
Yep.
Okay. So next, parks building maintenance job description approval.
This is Corey's job in case anyone's confused. I found one that seemed very extensive and similar. I ran it by Corey. We talked about it. It seems to capture his roles and responsibilities quite well. I'll make a motion that we, accept the parks and building maintenance job description, as presented.
That's the one that was in the folder.
Yes.
It was in last month's that had been planned on voting.
I will second that.
Okay. It's open for discussion. Anybody?
Yeah, we have to change Virgin, Utah to Boulder.
That's weird. I thought I...
Maybe is this not... This is the one that you gave me last month.
Yeah.
Or is this actually Virgin's?
Oh.
No, this is like you.
It should definitely be. That's weird.
But
sorry.
Think it is the one that...
Yes, I just screwed it. So I got it from Virgin. Okay.
Maybe just make sure that this is the same one here.
This is it.
Okay.
I just somehow botched that.
And Corey went over this with you?
Yes. Yeah.
And he felt fairly...
He thought that this covered his activities quite well, yes. So, I guess. I guess I amend my motion to change Virgin to Boulder in the title. Or we could just remove the location entirely. I think I meant to just delete that, but at any rate.
All right. I'm fine with it. I'm ready to vote.
Okay. Gladys?
Yeah.
All right. All in favor of...
Wait, did one of you make a motion? Did you make the motion? Sorry.
Yeah, I did.
I'm sorry.
And I think John seconded it.
Yes.
I really am not used to taking these notes. I apologize.
And I said as presented. So...
But it's fine because you amended it to say so.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
So we're approving the these two pages.
Yeah, it's not the first page. That's for context.
Yeah. All right.
It's a good clarification. It's not his email.
So all in favor of approving Parks Public Works for Corey as Corey's job description. Say aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye. With the one little amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool. All right. Well, that went right along there.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do one a month. And, you know, we need to get more job descriptions. No one else is
published. Yeah, and it's really a good idea to do it that way. We're not here for 10 hours.
Yeah.
Going through them. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I reached out and reminded everyone and no one replied. Did you get that email?
I actually didn't, and Lacey had to forward it to me because she was like, did you get Josh's email? And I was like, no.
Okay. Did you not add yourself to the staff at?
No, I am.
Okay.
I mean, I sure think I am, but we can double check.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, no one replied, so I was like, I assume I didn't get an error. Anyway. Someone's next.
Up at the approval for August and September check.
Are you going to just skip staff upcoming work and priorities?
Do what?
Are you skipping number 17?
Oh, I crossed it off.
I mean,
I did. Well, I went through it. Didn't you guys hear? Okay, sorry.
I know. Only because I have a couple.
Number 17, staff upcoming work and priorities.
Can I start?
Yeah.
Okay, so last month you guys asked me to get the website public. I'm just working on the tiniest last couple things, and it's mostly just getting the TownCloud app added to the website before we launch it, and then it should be a little simpler, or not simpler, should be pretty fast from there. So that should be happening in the next week or two. I'm hoping it tops. We will have that done in public. One of the things, I guess this is where I'm going to say this. It was brought up about employee hours and like where they've been in the Google Drive. And I just have to apologize. So I have them, everyone hands them in differently. Cindy texts them to me. Corey just has a notebook. Everyone has them differently. And so I gather those, I do payroll, and then I have them in a folder in my office and I just keep forgetting to put them in the Google Drive. So I'm hoping by tomorrow I'll have them all uploaded for all of you guys to see, because all of them exist.
Very good.
So I just wanted that to be something clear. Yes, people are definitely turning in all of their hours with their descriptions. Again, they're just in very different formats, which again, I think is fine. Corey literally doesn't have a computer. I mean, his parks and building. So I think it's fine. His is on a notebook. Same thing with Cindy. She just texts hers in. So I just like write hers in a Google doc and then I upload it.
I mean, we could print off a form and give it to them.
That means they'd have to give it to me.
Well, they can still take a photo of it.
Yeah, that's fine. Either way, whatever you guys, yeah. I mean, it's not, I just, you know, when you look at them, they're all very different because of that.
Yeah, this was something under the financial thing that I didn't bring up. So I'm glad you are. Like, I guess it would be
I mean, so who signs the paychecks, I guess? Like you do, and is Lacey it usually does, you, Gladys? Yeah. Like you?
No, it's usually Judy and Lacey.
Okay.
Lacey's the treasurer and I
sign. Okay. So is anyone looking at the, like, do you look at the timesheets? Like, I guess, like, before you sign the checks, it would be nice to check that all the timesheets are uploaded, you know, like, as a check.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Including yours.
I mean, of course, if they're there.
Okay. Because you haven't had one in there since, like, April or so.
Well, almost no one has.
Yeah, but you're the worst. It's fine. Because I'm not worried about it, no, but it's yes, like
they're all in there.
It's a
yeah, or I have them. Practice, they're not all right? in there. Like, well, yes,
it's good practice.
Like I said, there's just that last step. I have many steps with payroll, and I just need to make that one of them
part of the checklist.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks for addressing that. So
yeah, that'll work.
New website.
Uh huh.
How do we want to roll this out? Do you just want to flip the switch on? Do you want to send it around for comment?
The really hard thing with the state is that it's really up to, like, when they're ready, they'll switch it.
Oh,
yeah, sad. I have zero control over that.
Okay.
So when we are ready, yes. I mean, if everyone wants to see, again, it's not extensive right now. It is the pretty basics of it. And so, yeah, I mean, I can send it out to the council first. I mean, there's a link. You can see it. I mean, that's how I go through it with Morgan. And we really haven't done that much to it recently. So it's not that it's changed. But yeah, I mean, everyone can kind of see it before it goes live and the way that it works before we make that call. Because I can't hold it. Like, I can't hold it. You know, like how Morgan has it right now. But if we want it to actually be live, we don't have the control over pushing the button.
Right.
So it has to, like, it has to be fully ready. Then we call the state and they push the live button and then we're just live.
I would send it out then probably
okay.
to us.
Okay.
Just even so we know what it looks like.
Yeah. Yep. And then I wouldn't do that either without a lot of notice. Cause the same thing, I'm going to have to send it out to the town saying, you know, expect that there will be changes because it's going to be very different.
Yeah.
Will this change our URL?
No. Nope, it's not going to change the URL at all. But what it's going to do is that the old website will not be available through that URL.
It'll be archived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And not archived on the new website. That involved a lot of labor.
Sure.
And data that we don't have. And so I actually haven't. We talked about what we could do with that. And that actually wasn't a decision that was made about giving it a different URL just for a little bit.
So from a citizen standpoint, if they've bookmarked our website, someday they're going to click on that bookmark and it's going to bring up the new website.
Correct. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is that, so I will have access to it and I will have it archived. So if you need anything from the website that didn't, like, we have it. We have to have a lot of that for our own records, state requirement wise. So we will have it, but it will not be a source that the public will be able to access. So,
So we won't be able to make any of the old stuff publicly accessible.
No, unless we put on its own URL.
Which is a whole nother state thing.
Uh huh.
Well,
no, it actually doesn't have to be. It can be whatever we want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once the state releases it.
Do that.
And we can even do that for, like, you know,
because I'm going to, like, find the meeting minutes and stuff on there.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
So,
or archive.
Then definitely we need to archive.
Yeah.
So. Well, except for that, you could go to American Legal because they are almost all up to date. I mean, they don't go in as fast, okay. But they are. The meeting minutes are up till April, right at this second in time. Okay. And I just, because we just approved all these, I waited.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, I mean, American Legal is where you go to that.
Okay.
Except for that, for town council minutes, American Legal does not have anything further back than when I started.
I would say let's throw the old site on whatever website and we can link it to our new website.
I think so. I think, especially, like I said, we can keep it for a year, pay for 6 months, whatever it is, till people kind of really feel like they're going to stop using it.
Traffic on it and know when no one's going there anymore. Say, yes. Okay, no one's here.
Yes.
You know, all this information's too old. We can get rid of this now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great option. Thank you.
Yeah. And then, oh, this was not something. So I talked to Corey about this, but Josh, if you want to add this to maybe like your Corey list, just in that thing, right? What if Corey wants to leave his position tomorrow? How does someone know how to do his job? So the job description is awesome. What I asked him to do was to draw a map of the sprinkler system. So that became a big thing this year. Like, we actually, the reason the planters like right in front are dead is because Corey, we thought that they were connected to the rest of the sprinkler system. We had a leak over here by my office. It took a while because South Central cut it and all these things. So we thought that. Then Corey, only like a month ago, found out it actually is connected to the firehouse.
Yeah. What?
Yes. Oh. And so like, he had no idea. He's like, I don't know why it's dying. I don't know why it's not watering. And so just little things that, I mean, so I asked Corey, I was like, I don't even care if it's literally with a pencil and line paper, if you will just write a map of what he knows, where the sprinkler system lies, how it's connected, which building it goes to, because we didn't know that was a thing. And then this is not something that I asked Corey, but I also think the same thing, if we could maybe reach out to Steve Cox, only because I think he has the best knowledge of this, is all the plants in the front. And so like a lot of it's overgrown, and Corey was like, but I know that a lot of this is native. I don't want to tear out things that were native, but some is definitely weeds. And he was like, I'm actually not a plant guy. He's like, I can handle grass all day long. But I think for the same thing, they're pretty specific plants out there. And so if you want the next person to know how to do this job, and Corey, it would be really cool if we could have someone like go out and map the plants.
Right.
And talked to him about the weeds. We're going to go get the weeds together.
Yeah. So there's just little things that I ask, like, just again, to help the next person be able to do their job very efficiently.
Well, changing the filters where they
correct
are.
You know, just little things like that, but they do matter. I mean, and a lot of this is, it comes up from questions like, where is our septic? I still have not found a single person who has any idea where our septic is, or the lids to the
septic. There's something.
That's all I hear. That's what everyone knows out there.
Nice.
But like, we don't know where the lid is. We have no idea. Even so, like, these are those little things that, instead of us holding that knowledge, just jotting it down on a piece of paper and then handing it, you know, like,
yeah.
So
good,
yeah.
Winter work. Right?
Just because, yeah. Especially Corey has really learned the sprinkler system this last year, especially with trying to get the water bill down. So yeah, just if you think of anything like that too. Corey and I did talk about that one though. And then if you have anything else, that was just my updates of what. There's no other staff on too. It's just me.
Thank you.
So the credit card payment thing is tied to the website, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least it is, in the sense of if we wanted to, but I think we do because it's kind of lower.
But if we can implement it independently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I would like to do that, even if it costs more to start, or does it always cost more? I don't know, like, especially now with the new county thing, we really need to be working towards taking payments at the dump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a whole project.
Yes, it is, especially training Cindy on
yes,
how to do
and
it.
We can't start on it until we can actually take payments.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Square's not expensive. Maybe there's a discount through our website. Maybe not. But I think we're being penny wise and dollar dumb by waiting months and months and months for this website to save $20 in fees, or, you know what I mean?
Has anyone used Square? Like, can you, now with Tap, you don't have to have a Square reader. You just use a phone.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that looks like. You know, what does that look like? Like, we buy the town a phone. And it's a town issued phone, and you can use the app on that, the adapter. I mean, there's a little bit.
And what's that called?
Well,
I mean, there's all different programs.
You can always scan a card even with Tap. You don't have to have Tap. Like, not all places have that, right?
No, but I meant like, so if not, then you need to buy the little Square adapter that you can insert the card.
Yeah.
Where if you don't.
I thought they sent me one for free when I got an account.
Nice. That's why I was asking. I've never used it, so I don't know what it actually costs.
Probably.
Free. I think they want you to do it. So they give you the hardware. They used to anyway.
Yeah.
This was 6 years ago. But I mean, I think
And maybe Square's not the best. I don't know.
Me either. I also don't know what the service looks like out of the dump.
I don't think you need service for it to work. It'll batch it. I'm pretty sure.
Great.
It'll just record it. When you get into service, it uploads it.
So you can tell me if you're going to do that research or if you want me to, and if you want me to tie it into the website or not.
We definitely want it tied into the website at some point. So yeah. Whatever the website is compatible with is a starting point for the service we want to use, I would say.
Okay.
We want to be able to take payments online.
Okay, so give me till next week and then we can have this. I'll give you more in depth of.
Okay.
Because maybe maybe they can give us the equipment now, you know, like you're saying. So to make sure that it's matching.
Yeah, or like, you know, or I have a Square Reader at my house that should work with any account. Once you log in on the device, you log into an account and then it should send it all there.
Okay.
Okay. Cause that's, I mean, I'm still trying to, this is an important thing to work on because we need to print signs soon. And when we print signs, we should put the fees on the signs.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have fees on the signs, mm-hmm. we ought to be able to charge them.
Mm-hmm.
Or right around then, or it's going to get real confusing to people, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So this is all.
Yeah, it has to happen at the, okay.
And then the only other thing that I would like to see happen is I would like to see us as town council members have right access to the town council folder in Google Drive and read only access to all the other Google Drive, like planning commission. I don't know why we can't see the planning commission folders when we review and approve all their work. Like I've never been involved in an organization where I review and approve someone's work, but I don't have access to any of their files.
I think because I talked to quite a few different people about this when I created those, and it was that like, so your liaison who works with them definitely can have the read only or read access to them, but everyone else, you're given that information when they're ready to present it to you. And so you trust that body to do that work or else you'd be doing that work yourself. And so they present that information with you or to you as a council when they're ready to actually hand it over to you. And so that was when I reached out, it was like that part of, what's the right word that I'm going to look for? Yeah. I mean, you can see it, you can request it at any time. But the oversight that you didn't need to see every single thing at every single minute. And if you wanted to ask them, and then when they were ready to present it to you, then they present it to the town council as a whole. So that was talking to Roger Carter. That was talking to through the attorney of just like, how do most of them set this up? And so that was just a recommendation that was given as I set up the Google Drives.
But what about all the admin stuff? Like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we are a public body. You can fill out a form and get anything that we're doing, basically.
100%.
And I feel like there are times when I want information and I can't find it, like the audit report. I don't know. I mean, like there should be previous audit reports and I shouldn't have to go to our website and pull up meeting minutes or the state auditors. Like whatever our administrative files are, I should be able to go in there and poke around.
Saying that you want me to upload all back documents onto the Google Drive because like past audit that.
No, but I'm saying moving forward, I have no visibility. I don't even know where to find the approved meeting minutes on Google Drive.
I don't have them on the Google Drive. They get uploaded. I mean, they're on the desktop and then they get put. That's the thing is that this Google Drive is so new that they're on a folder on the desktop. And then they get uploaded to the website and printed. The copy that matters the most is the one that's printed in the office. That's the requirement by the state. And so that's the thing is that the Google Drive is so new. So if you want access to that document, I mean, I understand why you want that, but that access is not something that is state required. And so, yes, you fill out a form and ask for it, but it's not just at your fingertips at any moment in time with any organization. And so that's the part.
Jessica. I understand what you're saying, but this is a policy question that Josh has raised. And I don't think you want me to file grammar requests on you two or three times a week. But if I in theory, all those documents are available to me, to Donna Owens, to any member of the public. And I think that this has been a very big thing. You just said that the liaison should have access. I don't. So I think we have a problem here, and I think it's a policy question that Josh has put on the table.
Yeah, like you asked me to update the TC tabs for the staff list, but I don't have write access to that folder.
And like, that was not something that I did intentionally. It was as we changed over. I mean, this is an interesting thing that you want to have a talk about right now in this meeting. It was something that happened as I changed the permissions for the TC and the PC combined. There are many people who do not understand how to use Google Drive. They go in and they change documents, they change wording. And so I do limit the access for sure. Did I mean to take the changes away at all? No. But this is something that is so new. And if you have those concerns and you want them brought up, that's perfectly fine. But then saying that like Donna Owen should be able to have access at any time. So those should be public on the Google Drive to the entire public. That's something that you have to administratively say to me. And then I will make sure that that is put into place.
Fair enough.
So the same thing, asking for every single document that was never stated. There are certain things, the meeting material is, when I had set up the Google Drive, and that was a conversation that we had had, was to make sure that the council had the correct information to have for each and every meeting. That was it. And so every meeting we go in, upload the documents for that meeting, and then they lived there. Past that, there was no conversation of what went into the Google Drive and what didn't. That's what that was set up for. Now, there are things that we use it for, and I have been moving things towards that. But this is that thing again, that if you have an expectation of what is supposed to be in that drive, that's great. And we need to have that conversation. But that Google Drive was set up to help these meetings, to make sure that the council had the information for the meetings. That was it.
Well, that is kind of a waste of the capabilities of it, and not how pretty much any organization that has it would use it. It's automatically backed up, unlike your desktop, right? So it's safer there. Like the meeting minutes are safer there than in this building, theoretically. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would like to change about how we use Google Drive, and I would like to engage those conversations with you. I feel like we have conversations, and then the changes don't get implemented. And there's things that I can do because I've managed tens of thousands of files for my clients for the last 20 years as an engineer, that I have a pretty good understanding of what best practices are and what works really well over decades long file management timelines that I would like to implement. And I can't do that if I have to ask access all the time.
But I think that is right. You do need to ask access, and it has to be something that the entire council is okay with. And so if the entire council is like, Josh, we actually trust everything that you do. If you go in and change the Google Drive all the time and you set it up the way that you think, that's awesome. Then you should be the person. But then to have you and I in it at the same time, and then I don't know what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, I can offer an alternative scenario where I don't remember as a council member giving you permission, sole permission, to have administrator privileges and no one else. I also never authorized that as a council member.
Okay, then that needs to be very clear.
Yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up. It's very
well, clear. And we need to understand all the implications of all this too.
Providing right access to just our folder is appropriate as a working folder for us for the meetings, which
and
is
you,
what Jessica
you have until paper. This week when I tried to put everything in for the two meetings. When I did that, it messed it up when I tried changing the authorities. You have literally had access to this the entire time until this week.
Well, it's been, I mean, on and off. No, it hasn't been smooth. And I guess I'll bring it further and say part of the reason they had to screw with the access is because we didn't just have read access to their folder on their meeting. So you had to create a whole nother drive. Like managing permissions at this level is a lot more work. It's okay. A lot more work.
I'm going to make a suggestion since it's getting late.
I agree.
That Josh and I will come up with a motion that we will put on the agenda for next month, and you and Lacey can have opportunity, and the mayor can have opportunity to provide feedback on it. We will bring a motion next month to set a policy.
Okay, and I want you to give examples of why it would be a good thing to do, okay?
Okay, we can do that, yep.
Because I want to know what the positive and the negative to this is, so that we everybody can understand it, because I'm not as IT quick as you guys are, okay?
But, yeah.
So I want to be able to understand why you would want to do this and the disadvantage that it could be to Jessica. So if you could do that for me, I would really appreciate it.
Okay.
I wish I was up on that kind of stuff, but I've never had to work as detailed as you guys are with it. Even running a business. I did my own spreadsheets and stuff because we were a small company. But to get into it like you guys are, I'd like to understand. Okay. Sure. So if you'll do that for
me, do that, Josh?
I'd appreciate it.
Okay. We'll put that on. So we have to approve checks real quickly, upcoming business for October. But
are we done with the staff?
So we'll have motion on IT policy as a agenda item for next month. So let's see, should we approve checks?
Yes, absolutely.
I looked them over. I think we did discuss the issue about the timesheets. So I will move that we approve the August and September checks.
Got a second?
A second.
All in favor of approving the August and September checks, say aye. Those opposed, say no.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye. All right, up and coming business.
Okay, so we have the September 15th minutes, September 5th minutes to approve. We just added a motion on IT policy, and we should have, we will need to have hearings on three ordinances. Chapters 151, 152, and 153. And we should probably have a preliminary discussion about the upcoming resolutions for November. So that we're ready to take final votes on those six items in December.
The only other thing that I have is the pay schedule, how to adjust to inflation only, because that got postponed this month. And then the fee schedule, the facility fees, because that also just got postponed.
Yeah, that's Gladys working on that, right?
Yeah. Nice.
I have modify the dumpster policy to be in compliance with county regs. I would like to have a discussion about potentially increasing the resort tax. I sent out that email about our options and paths and how much money and all that.
I think we probably should put that off to January. We got a heck of a lot in November and December.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I do too. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I'd say inflation adjustment and resort tax should go to January.
That'll work.
And along with that resort tax, I'd also like to have a little discussion about how we keep track of who is doing Airbnbs. Because I've heard rumors there's some, you know, we said that you had to live here in order to have some. Well, I've heard rumors that there's some people who they don't live here.
Well, only because you brought that up, it's actually something that I'm going to ask the town council and the planning commission to actually make that a priority after the planning commission is done with their, it is something that needs like an overhaul. There are many things lacking with that ordinance. There are some compliance letters that need to go out, but I would like the ordinance to match the letters before absolutely. We do that part.
Yeah. Because we spent a lot of time on this last winter.
Yeah. And it has to go.
It's a mess.
Yeah. And it has to go through planning commission first because it is land use.
I mean,
unless I understand
right,
that differently.
Well, technically right now, I believe there's basically no one compliant because it requires an annual renewal of your CEO.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So not a single one is actually in compliance.
Well, are you guys?
You have a renewal of your business license, not your actual license.
And all the stuff down at Sugarloaf is a guest ranch, which is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to make, this is why.
This is a whole separate thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
take care of that later.
But we got lists from the county of primary residences. We got lists of voters, I think, or we got some other list. I don't know.
If it doesn't have to go through planning commission too, it is something that if we can start the comp, I thought it had to go to planning commission first. I was kind of, I mean, we have a lot anyways till before the beginning of the year, but it is something that, whatever the process is, I want everyone to start thinking of how we go through that. So,
And I'm happy to forward our prior, I think we have one or two email chains that have a lot of information in there. If anyone is interested, I can forward that on to sort of wrap your mind around
On that question of whether it goes through planning, what has caused a great deal of confusion here in Boulder? By state law, things related to land use, which is basically zoning, have to go through the planning commission. When our ordinances got codified, an awful lot of stuff that's really business regulation got stuck into chapter 153. So we keep saying, well, it's part of zoning. Well, no, it's zoning determines where you can have an Airbnb. How we administer the licenses and renewals is not a land use issue. It's business regulation. That's another of the cleanups we have to do. I did want to add one other thing for November. I've had some conversations with Michael and with Daryl and with Ray about enforcement. I'm going to suggest, we'll put it on the agenda, but I think what would be really helpful is for Daryl and Ray to work with Wynn to resurrect what I'll call a Boulder Way on enforcement. We had a policy back when Bill Muse was mayor that it was very much of, you have to have a complaint, somebody who goes talks to the person that explains the ordinance, they have time to comply, you know, because right now our language says, well, you broke the rule, you've got a Class C misdemeanor.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's not been our way. And I think the better ordinances I've looked at all have on especially on business regulation, zoning, building code issues, there's always this, you have time to comply and then a civil fine. So I'd like to talk about that at length when Ray is here and Daryl's prepared. So we'll be an assigned to committee type thing.
Okay.
Continuing our financials discussion after the auditor call and touching base about the change to meeting minutes. Those are the other two things. Mm-hmm. And I have all this in my action item list.
I want to make sure, sorry. So the way that motion was said, I thought you meant like, I'm going to call the auditor and ask for a date, but if they don't have a meeting that they can set before the 17th,
right,
then I can't do anything about
that.
Yeah,
then just, yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. I just want to make sure that like, I'm not guaranteeing.
I said that because I'm planning on being out the week after. And then the week after that is like,
yeah,
we're getting ready for the meeting again.
Perfect. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that like, depending on the auditor is when the meeting will happen.
Yeah. If they don't have time. Okay. But
you hopefully they should. I mean, it's
not be able to set an hour aside. But
in fact, we'll make an informal clarification. If they can't do it by the 17th, have them get it as the first available date.
Yeah.
Good call.
All right. Are we good?
That's it.
That's a lot.
All right. Meeting's adjourned. One thing I can do at the end of the night, I love doing.
One more thing.
Still meeting, so the meeting hasn't adjourned.
Well, it'd be nice to do a Robert's Rules training on unanimous consent. And
I read that.
That's up to you, because it's entirely you would be the one, you're the only one that can do it.
Yeah, well, let me read through it again. I saw I read through it, there's a couple of things we could probably do that on, you know, quick stuff.
I think it would be helpful, yeah.
So we just have to get used to doing
it. But it's you would have to do it, so. It's
all right. Well,
might save a few minutes and they add up over time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are adjourned.